We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, and it's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. That means the Reardon Roundtable. We are set to throw down here in the studio. Jane is with us this afternoon. I welcome you to my side of the political equation. I actually got someone else, two people on the left today, because you're on my side based on all your tweets lately on the cops and everything. I love that, Jane. No, I'm kind of kidding. On my side, we'll introduce Mike Elam because he's been doing some filling stuff at a moment. But Donna Behringer, state rep, is with us this afternoon. How are you, Donna? Great to see you.
Great to be seen.
Mike Elam is here, too. He's the St. Charles County Council Chair, and you'll hear him every once in a while here on 97.1. He's been filling in. You can fill in for, I think, Annie next week and me when I'm gone, too. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'll be on for Annie on Wednesday and Thursday next week. And you get to see Sue Thomas again, which is always good.
It is always good.
It's joy.
Let's start, though, just briefly, because, Jane, I don't know if you heard about this. Donna was down in Florida for the hurricane, so I wanted to hear a little bit of this.
Yeah,
I'm heading a week from now, but you survived the hurricane, and it's your first hurricane, right?
I sure did. I do want to say I'm very happy that Southwest has a direct flight to Jacksonville, where my family is. It's only an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, that is nice.
That's right. And Amelia Island is an hour from Jacksonville, and it's an island. And we were down there, and Elsa headed our way. And I tell people, I said, I did put a little video on my Facebook page so you could see what it was like to be almost near, but it turned into a tropical storm. But my favorite part of the story is I have never seen Frozen. So I went ahead, and since it was raining all day Wednesday because of the tropical storm Elsa, I watched Frozen.
Yay.
And then you
that.
Let it go.
I let it go.
Nice, Mike. Boom.
Let it go.
Good job. You got there faster than the host. That's pretty good. See, he's got some chops. There's no doubt about that. Well, I'm glad that you survived, and I'm also glad that the hurricane was this week and not when I'm heading there in about a week to Captiva, because
that's good.
That would have been a problem. All right, Jane, there's a lot to get to here.
A lot going on
during
these days.
The show, during the roundtable. We have a lot of topics to cover, but let me start with this because I think it was, Saturday or Sunday, my wife looks at Twitter and she says there was a shooting at West County Mall.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, now we got another shooting out here in the county. It appeared to be, and Kevin Killeen came in the day after that, told the story, a couple of guys that were in the Champs store, and there was an argument that ensued, and then someone shot the other guy, and the other guy's dead, and now we have charges that are filed, but is there another side to this story?
Yes, and I know I'm always the pro, the pro law enforcement on this one and pro, charge people, but not this one. I think this kid's getting railroaded. I think his name is Jason Hill, and he was at West County Mall with his girlfriend.
He's 21 years old.
21 years old.
They were shopping for baby clothes, right?
Yes, they have a brand new baby, and he graduated from Cleveland Junior Naval Academy in 2018. Great kid. And he just gets, punched and beat up by the victim, who passed away, said, I'm going to kill you.
Well, there were other guys, too.
Yes, he had three friends with him.
Right.
And they don't know. They've never met. They're strangers. And this guy comes up and cold cocks him and is knocking him down, saying, I'm going to kill you. And then I think there was a gun. I think the victim did have a gun. And so the kid Hill, who's in jail right now, finally pulled his gun in self-defense and shot him. And my understanding is the tape is very clear. And that, you know, so that's why I've been calling on the prosecutor to release the tape.
Second-degree murder.
Second-degree murder. So here's the other thing. I think there's clearly enough from what even we already know that there was a scuffle. So murder, too, seems like overcharging no matter what. And the kid's in jail. Like, he's there. They're holding him over. I hope. I've heard maybe he's getting a hearing next week. But I'm like, wait a minute. Where are all the social justice warriors? This is one. This kid should not be in jail pending, and they need to release the tape. They need to release the tape because I heard, my understanding is the whole incident was captured on video. And, you know, I don't want this to be another like we had at the Galleria where Bell holds on to it for a year, and then at the end is like, oh, you
but
know,
here, this, is what
this
I'm
kid's life is on the line.
All right, a couple things on this. First of all, I'm a little confused because they say that they both may have had weapons, that
they
were two weapons that were recovered. But what's the impetus for Wesley Bell to charge if he shouldn't charge here? Why would he do that? I mean, I'm
there's been
misunderstanding
some...
what the point would be if he decides to do that.
There's been some implication that there either is a relationship or that politically he thought that and I think is the father a former St. Louis Cardinal?
He is. The father of the victim is
and he's a
Lonnie
baseball
Macklin.
Coach. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
used to play.
Yeah, and he's a baseball coach
yeah.
up in North County. So, you know, I guess they'll find out if he knows Wesley Bell.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a crazy story, and I didn't see that coming, although, you know, there were a lot of details that were missing from that. But why wouldn't you just have the tape? I mean, it's one
they
thing to—
They were strangers.
To,
that right there that, tells
that's
you—
That's very interesting.
That it's very strange that a stranger would come up to you and just cold cock you. I mean, this is a guy with a girl, you know. I mean, they don't know each other.
Okay, but they're both carrying guns, too.
Clearly, well, but you don't know that they knew that, but one
right.
person just came up and— You know, and says, I'm going to kill you. And
this
like,
reminds me of that knockout game that they were playing.
You know what?
Yeah.
That is the first thought that came to my mind is I wouldn't be surprised if it was knockout gone really bad.
Because if you're looking at just a random attack where they didn't have any kind of relationships before that, and then the guy's going to walk up and just cold cock you and automatically say, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
All right. So there's some sort of crazy intent that's going on there.
Yeah.
I agree
so
with you.
There's a
Not,
lot more
I'm,
to this
I'm
story.
I'm with Mark. I don't know a lot about what's going on. You filled in a lot for me, but
right.
I would figure at the mall, pretty much everything's going to be on
Absolutely.
Video. They've got everything recorded.
Yeah. And so, I was in Florida, so I wasn't supposed to be looking at my phone, but I did. That did come up in my feed when
I
was sneaking
a peek
at it. Oh, I
got a ton of texts.
And the first thing that came into my mind was, this is the second shooting at
yes.
West County Mall.
Yes.
And when people say to me, it's not a big deal if I hear shots fired in the city, I'm hoping this is a wake-up call. I'm hoping
Absolutely.
This is a wake-up call. Because if you've got two shootings at West County Mall, can we now all come to the table and figure out how to fix this?
Well,
Amen.
I mean, what does that even mean, though? I mean, as far as located at the mall, yeah.
Well, they're allowed
to
say no guns on the premises. The Galleria did say that. I suspect there's a sign that allows them to keep guns out. So, I mean, one, I think if they want, they could put up a metal detector or something. I mean—
But this kind of brings us into a broader conversation. So
yeah.
Andrew Cuomo had this news conference this week. He's the guy who killed thousands of old people in his state of New York. But now, even though crime is running rampant across this country, including his country, he wants to blame the guns. Your side, Donna, they always want to blame the guns. And he actually brought race into the equation.
Of course he did.
Yeah, because everything is racist these days. So what is your plan? You're a member of the legislature. I hear about guns all the time. What's the plan to reduce violence? Because if you're going to defund the police on your side, if you're not going to support the police, and I know Jane does, and I think you do too, then what's the plan?
Well, everyone wants to assume we all think exactly alike, and we don't. Because there are people who are Democrats that have guns because they're hunters. So that they do respect guns. But I think everyone does agree that just like with a car, you have a driver's license and we should have something that tells us or you have to pass to actually carry a gun. And I'll give you an example. I went and took my CCW in Jefferson City because I don't have a gun and I'm afraid of them. But I wanted to be more comfortable around them. And all the people I took the class with did carry guns and had guns. And I learned something very important when we went to the range. Because I was able to make sure my aim was right, I was calm when they played a game that's kind of like Simon Says. And they'd say something, we were supposed to say, stop or I'll shoot, right? Well, I did do stop or I'll shoot. But then they said it without blowing the horn to shoot your gun. And when they did that, kind of like Simon Says, I didn't shoot my gun, but all these other people around me were shooting their guns. And I said to myself, I think that's the problem here, is that not enough people are trained, and you have to have muscle memory to be that good.
No, no, no. That's not the problem, because that would be the problem if people where Mike lives in St. Charles County, or where you and I grew up out in West County in Baldwin as a fellow Parkway alum, if everyone was put, you guys have said this for years, that the it's going to turn into the Wild Wild West. It's not. This crime is very, very, it's not too hard to figure out what's going on here, Don. This is urban crime. Where's the guy from that did the shooting at West County Mall?
They're from North County.
They're from North County. Okay, so let's focus on criminals, not guns. It's not people with CCW permits or just wanting to conceal and carry to protect themselves that are killing kids in St. Louis at record pace.
This kid went to, like, the Naval, you know, the Naval Academy. He may have been trained. I mean,
but I think that particular example is a one-off.
You guys want to talk about guns and guns being the big problem. This is a crime problem with violent criminals that there's an unwillingness to deal with.
I think it's both. And you know that I am very strong about going after the criminals. And I think we have a situation now. I think what's exacerbating the situation is because police are hesitant to police in a way that they see fit.
Right.
There are less stops. There's less interaction, which means they're not getting as many guns off the street as they used to, illegal guns. I'm not talking about legal guns. I'm talking about illegal guns. So I do think that the hesitation in policing means we're not enforcing traffic. We're not pulling people over for anything. That's where a lot of the times they recover illegal guns are these incidental. But now they're afraid, you know, to police that way, and they're being told not to police that way. And so I think that is helping the proliferation of illegal guns. That's not helping. I do think it's too easy to get a gun. I think,
but the people that are committing, look, I had this guy on yesterday who was outstanding. He's from Chicago and a group called Violence Interrupters. And he's been very active since 2004 on trying to do some things that really do reduce violence outside of what the police are doing. But he was honest. Now, he's an African-American. I can't say this stuff, right? I'll get in trouble. Let's come to terms with this. And this is what he said. He said 80%. I've looked at the figures. 85 to 90% of the victims are black.
In the city, they are.
80% to 95% of the victims or of the suspects are black. So this is, in some way, shape, or form, an African-American problem with families, with men that don't think that they have futures because they don't have mentors or leaders. It's an issue in certain areas. That's why they're not shooting out where I live in Fenton. They're not shooting in Baldwin. They're not shooting where Mike is. This is happening in concentrated areas. So why can't we at least accept that and say, okay, let's not go after everyone that wants to protect themselves with guns because they're worried about the criminals in the city. Let's focus on the criminals, the bad guys.
But there has been, okay, look, we've had concentrated poverty in St. Louis City. It's now moving to St. Louis County, North County. You can just look at the census. Actually, blacks are skipping St. Louis County now and going straight to St. Charles.
They are.
That ought to tell you something.
And I will tell you real quick before you finish that point that Tim Lomar, who's the prosecuting attorney in St. Charles, will tell you at any given time, St. Charles County Jail has 50 to 60% of its current residents that are not St. Charles County residents. It's people who come from other areas, more specifically the city or North County, who come out there because, hey, if you're going to rob people, you want to rob people who have nicer stuff, right? So you're going to come out and grab that, and they tend to get arrested in St. Charles County and put in jail, as opposed to, I think, the point that you're getting to, when you get to the city and you do commit a crime and you walk in the front door, get prosecuted and get fingerprinted,
and then walk
out the back door and you never get prosecuted, what's to stop you from committing another crime? And it's not unique to St. Louis. I mean, that's the issue that you're seeing to what you were talking about in New York.
Nationwide.
I mean, Lord, can we have any more conversations about people dying in Chicago? I mean,
it's
just daily people are getting gunned down in Chicago. I think there are over 3,000 shootings so far this year just in Chicago.
Because there is something to the fact that, yes, we've always had poverty. It's not just poverty that makes poor people don't just kill people, okay?
Right.
They just don't.
Of course not.
We're in the middle of a drug war or whatever.
The poor people are pissed off about this, too. And the poor people don't agree with defund the police,
right? And you poll the people, and just because Tashara Jones got elected didn't mean that they agreed with everything that she said. And I will tell you, Prop P was a very good indicator. Every ward north of Del Mar passed over 60% passed Prop P. I mean, but we are seeing now, and I've had cop police officer friends who have said the criminals get caught and they say, oh, I got the prosecutor on my side, or I got, or I'm going to be out.
It is open and notorious.
All right. Yeah.
Hang on. Hold your thoughts, because we got to get to a break. I'm a little late on that. We'll come back. Much more of the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon still to come on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Friday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mark Reardon and a Reardon Roundtable. On the panel, Jane Duker, State Rep Donna Behringer, and Mike Elam, who is the St. Charles County Council Chair, also doing some fill-in stuff quite a bit here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike, I'll start with you on this one. The new standard bearer for the Democrats in Missouri, I'm speaking, of course, of Congresswoman Cori Bush, tweeted this out on July 4th. The day that we celebrate our nation's independence. When they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this. The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. Well, we're getting used to this from our member of the squad, but how utterly ridiculous
is this?
You know,
we were having the conversation earlier before we came on and talking about Lacey Clay, and I was never a big fan of Lacey. I always thought Lacey was just kind of phoning it in, right?
I liked Lacey. I really did.
Lacey's a nice guy. He would show up, cut some ribbons, shake some hands, you know, but Lacey never really did anything, in my opinion.
Well, I think he did a lot. I think he just did it more quietly.
I'm actually with Jane on this.
He rose up the chain for a reason.
Yeah, and I also think the one thing about Lacey that I liked is that he was willing to look at, for example, tax issues and have a different approach than Democrats. So he stood out independently sometimes.
He also did help with NGA. Don't forget. He was part of NGA.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the point that I was making was, I'm wondering if the Democrats who said, well, we're done with Lacey, are having remorse
right now.
That's a good
question for our Democrat friends, Donna,
yes.
Because I'd like to know the answer to that.
Hold it. Can you pause a little longer before you say that?
Yes.
But Jane, you're not a Democrat in the city. So the question is, I'm a taxpayer. No. But I'm saying, do those Democrats in her district that voted for her, they wanted this, didn't they?
No, the 20%, the 18%, yeah. I mean, that's the crowd. But they vote. And, you know, I think the mayor's race indicated, look, I think there were a lot of people who, like you, were like, okay, he's been there too long, let's try something new.
Right.
I think there was a lot of that. I think there are a lot of people going, because the first thing she said was defund the Pentagon, which is like all the jobs in her district,
right?
Which was just like, I mean, just glaringly insane. And so I would not be surprised if there's some buyer's remorse. But I also think that I think she's going to get a term. And it's not like some Democrat can come take her out. I think it's going to take her term or two for her to really implode. But what I'm comforted by is because she is all full on squad. I mean, she's there with AOC and the whole lot of them. You know, the mayor's election in New York really heartened me because, you know, the squad tried to get somebody to be mayor.
Well, that's an interesting result, right?
And the coalition that ex-cop put together was African Americans, labor, working class. The only borough he didn't get was Manhattan.
Go figure.
It's the white progressives that wanted all the, you know, that wanted the defunder and the squad person and the other people. So that sort of heartens me that, you know, I hope the African Americans take their power back.
I will give you one thing with these folks who are new walking into office. They've all learned if you want to get noticed nationally, just say some crazy stuff.
Take these far left positions. It's hard for me not to believe that that's a big part of this.
I think it's all on marketing because all of a sudden they can stand up. They're on all the Sunday shows. Everybody wants to talk to them. We're talking about her. You know, yep. When's the last time you had a conversation about Lacey Clay?
Well, right. That's a good point. She keeps the focus point. On her. Are you saying then, Jane, because I don't know the inner workings of the city politics, that there won't really even be a formidable challenge next year?
I'd be surprised. I think it's probably, sadly, too soon. But I also think there's a redistricting coming. So that's gonna change everything. So depending on whether, because if I'm a Republican, I leave Cori Bush in there. I would leave her untouched because she's the gift that will never stop giving to Republicans.
Oh, in Missouri, she's my version of Nancy Pelosi all day long.
Absolutely. I mean, she is a gift.
Worse than Nancy Pelosi. Right.
I mean, we have Eric Greitens and you have Cori Bush. So.
Good luck with Greitens thing.
Let's also look at that race where Cori was elected. It was also Kim Gardner and Tashara Jones.
Yep.
It was an August primary in the city of St. Louis.
Right.
And so
how many people voted? Like what, 19%?
Well,
voted.
There were 20,000 more people that voted in that August Democratic primary than voted in the presidential November election.
Ooh. Well, that's interesting.
So once you win that primary in the city of St. Louis,
you're in. Right.
And so that's why I try to explain to people it's a different animal, and you have to look at these numbers. And so that was a group that got in on a big group together. So
Yep. And, it'll be interesting to see if people get fed up. I mean, because I'm sensing that people are tired of the crime. And she and, they've gone off to Denver together to talk about their co-responder program. And I'm like, why wouldn't you send the director of public safety or the police chief? Why do we have to have girls gone mad in Denver?
But this is like, what point it's insane. Is the Democrat it's high school. Leadership not going to stand up and go, you're killing me. Shut up.
I am. I'm not leadership, though. Well, that's the problem. I mean, I'm just a moderate Democrat.
Nancy never slaps him down, though.
She doesn't.
Well,
no,
except
she rolls
they don't get
over.
Their stuff done. And that's what I find interesting. Just like Tashara's running into a bit of a roadblock at the Board of Aldermen because she thinks that, she's going to order everybody around. There's a whole legislative branch there that she, clearly isn't learning how to maneuver but thinks she's going to bully. And I also think that even AOC has learned not to mess with Nancy.
Right.
I mean, so, I think that there will be a time and, we'll see how she handles that. But right now, though, they're not getting their stuff done. I mean, let's just face it. To flip the board, it never happened. I mean, there's a narrative out there that there's this progressive wave, and I actually think it's going the other way.
But you would think Nancy understands off-year elections.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
Oh, I think this midterm could be brutal.
The last thing she needs are these, I guess she's the fifth member of the squad. She's like the fifth Beatle, right? Yes. So she just shows up. She's going to get out there, match
defund,
them word defund. For word, be crazy, crazy. Oh, I can up crazy you right. more than what you can do. Because really, she's,
student loan debt
for me,
is violence.
She's become the new AOC. I haven't heard that much about AOC.
Oh, that's a good
point. Why? Because she's turning into an insider. Welcome. If you want to get something done, you don't act like that.
You really don't. Especially if you're thinking that you're going to go primary Chuck Schumer and you want to be a senator and you want to have some sort of lead. Somebody's going to come along and grab you by the lapel and
she
say,
didn't get
look,
New York done.
You want some money? Here's how this is going to happen. And you're right. That's hurting.
So on the progressive front, I dipped my foot into the waters yesterday in a
kind
dangerous
fashion.
Oh, well, but see,
nothing
this
compared
is what's
to what
funny.
I deal with.
Uh-oh. This is what's funny. I got a small taste of what Jane deals with on an hourly basis because I dared to say something along these lines. First of all, there was a tweet by, and I don't even want to say his name. He's the biggest dipwad at the Post-Dispatch, which is kind of hard to narrow him down. But here's what—
No, there's one that's the biggest.
Right, no doubt. There is not a single logical, political, or moral reason for Lewis Reed to oppose direct $500 payments to working class and poor St. Louisans to help them recover from the pandemic. It is the simplest, proven, bipartisan way to help families recover. Saying no is just mean. So, Jane, I saw that because you tweeted it out. So— some guy named Chris Prenter at SLU, who's a social justice warrior, says robbing the poor to help the rich, a St. Louis tale. So my response, and this is horrible, I want to apologize in advance for triggering people out there with what I said and how terrible I am. I said, and I know this is crazy, okay? It's nuts. Instead of $500 cash handouts, how about they get a $15 to $20 an hour job? Because those seem to be everywhere.
Including
and
the
I know,
city.
And again, I know that's nuts. Work is a stupid idea, but it's ridiculous that, and Lewis Reed, by the way, I got to give Lewis credit. He came on here yesterday and he bitch slapped this idiot at the
and
Post.
And he's not
so
opposed to it, but he's like, I want some standards. I want to understand how this money's going to go out. I'm not, the comptroller in New York City is suing the mayor because they're like, you threw all this money away down a rat hole. No RFPs, no oversight. We had that problem in the county. I'm glad the
but
Board
see,
of Aldermen
Jane,
is standing
points,
up and, saying
Donna,
we're going to know.
You know, Lewis, you worked on the Board of Aldermen. One of the points that Lewis made is these progressives who are calling for the $500 payments and all this other stuff, they are completely out of touch with the African Americans because
absolutely
they don't want some of this stuff. So Lewis says, look, this is it. And by the way, it's hilarious for me to get called out on this when it was an overwhelming number of Democrats that opposed this, like Jack Coder and Lewis and others.
Let's face it, you wouldn't have supported it, would you? Well, I sit on fiscal review at the state level, and I always tell people, I said, I want to see where the money's going,
That's how it's
going to be spent. I said, what my thought process was when I first saw this on Twitter was that they were probably wanting to know is why would you give $500 to someone who makes $48,000 a year versus let's give $1,000 to people who make under $30,000 a year.
Right. Like there's so many different ways to slice this pie.
Right. So, right. How about more to single mothers with children and... You know,
what problem are you trying to solve and how will this solve
right,
it?
How dare you put standards to this?
I want the money to get to the people who need it the most.
But that's the thing. In this program, there's money for rental assistance. There are a lot of things in this package that are going to help
the people who
need it.
Well, what about tent villages? Right. Let's have tent villages at the schools. Yeah. That's like my personal favorite.
Oh, you mean like the tent village that I passed on my way to the station?
Oh, no. She's going to rouse them out because she doesn't want the people from Square to have to see them. Yes. She's taking that little tent village down because she doesn't want Square to have to look at them when they move into their business complex.
So once you take that little tent village down, where are they going to go?
Well, they're talking about putting them, and again, I have to give Lewis Reed credit because they said, okay, well, we're going to do these encampments everywhere, and they're going to spend like $8 million and put them on parking lots of abandoned schools.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just weird. And so he said, okay, well, all right, we'll give the mayor what she wants, but I'm going to let the aldermen decide if they want to opt out.
Right.
If they want to opt out and not have their ward be part of the encampment village, then they can do that. Well, guess what? A lot of them have opted out.
No kidding.
No, wait. We did a study. Eddie Roth was in charge with the homeless, and we found out that 50% of the homeless in the city of St. Louis are not from St. Louis.
Correct.
So what I've always wanted to do is find out where their place of origin is. So if they're from West
County,
it's
really easy. Ask the Department
of
Corrections.
They get to go to West County. Mm-hmm. If they are from, you know, Holt Summit, they go to Holt Summit. But the burden of taking care of all of these homeless people should not be on the city of St. Louis.
Alone. And they get no help.
So,
the county doesn't help.
But we have the density of all the services they need, and that's
where
it's
unfair.
Do you know
what DOC does? You know what the state does?
Do they drop them
here?
You know
how I know this? Because I was the chief of staff, and I dealt with the mayor's office saying, we are sick and tired of DOC dumping every person who gets out of jail. They say, where do you want to go? They say the city of St. Louis, and they take them.
We have it on video from the public library right here. Where they pull up, they give them $20, and they drop them off on the corner.
The bus station.
Are you saying that you can't stop that, though?
There's nothing you can do to stop it?
Well, the state would have to do it, because the state is the one that determines.
Yeah. So that's why I tell people.
That has been a perennial problem.
Yes.
So,
holy cow.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. But we're going to put them in tents now.
Hang on.
Dang.
It's a lively Reardon Roundtable this afternoon. 97.1 FM Talks. Who's got traffic coming up? Then we're back with much more. One more segment to go. Dan Buffett in the next hour. We'll talk about Black Widow. Reardon Roundtable for a Friday as we take you into the weekend. Jane is with us. She's going to hang in the next hour as we have a little fun with Dan Buffett. We have Sue's News as well. And Frank Cusumano at 4:45. The Cardinals and Cubs playing this weekend in Chicago. I almost called you State Rep Mike Elam. Although that might be in the future. We'll see. No. Mike Elam is the St. Charles County Council Chair. Donna Behringer is a state rep with us.
That's a much better fit, by the way. Donna does a much better job.
And Jane is here as well. So you have concerns all across Missouri in particular, and people are pointing toward our state because of the Delta variant and hospitalizations. I want to offer you a couple of examples of some numbers happening across the planet right now, because I have yet to buy into the fear porn on the Delta variant. I've always, by the way, taken COVID very seriously. But the 7-day average of the UK cases is above 25,000 right now. That's the highest since late January, when the weekly average had dropped from a peak of 50,000. But what's interesting is only 2,000 COVID cases are hospitalized. Nearly 40,000 were in January. The daily deaths are under 20 versus more than 1,000 in January. Israel is having the same thing. Spike in Delta cases, deaths in the single digits over the last month. So I don't know what to make of what's going on here, because we are hearing from Springfield in particular that the hospitalizations are up.
They're struggling.
While this this is clearly, I think, more infectious. I don't think there's any debate about that.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily appear to be more deadly. But where does that leave us, not only here in Missouri, but let's talk about moving forward, because the last thing I think we want, especially those of us who are vaccinated, is to have to wear masks again, is to have to lock down again.
They're talking about it.
Well, exactly. So is that where we're heading in the long run.
I think it should be the opposite. If you didn't get vaccinated, right, then those of us who are vaccinated, who wore the masks, who followed the rules, we should not have to do it again because you don't get vaccinated.
Amen,
sister.
So that's
how I feel. You didn't vaccinate.
You're the dumb
guy. What if you've had COVID, though?
You must wear a mask and you can't be allowed to.
What if you've had COVID and you have natural immunity?
Put it this way. Your health is your responsibility. How about that? You've been given every opportunity to get this vaccine. If you, and this is the other thing. I support them trying to get more people vaccinated, okay? But I think at some point, everybody knows that they can get it. I don't think we're in a situation where there are people who want it who aren't getting it.
I agree with that.
We're trying to shove it onto people, which maybe we need to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, by the way, what's interesting about that is when you have these incentive campaigns, and I looked at some of the numbers from Ohio, by the way, because I think at first some of the incentives might have worked, but now people are pretty much, they've made their decision. I don't know if these incentive programs are going to work.
But wait, we have a whole new incentive for healthcare workers in St. Louis right now. If you work for BJC, if you work for Mercy, or you work for SSM, you have a clock ticking on you right now if you have not gotten your shot.
Yep.
And if you don't get vaccinated, they're going to fire you.
Well, by the way, that's going to hold up in court because
it is. And it's
the
legal.
The law is on the hospital's side on that.
So they're a private company. They're allowed to do that.
Because that was a bunch of hospital workers in Houston sued over this. Brad Young, who was in for Annie, he analyzed they lost.
So the crazy thing about that is when we were seeing the polls about who's going to get the vaccine when it first started coming out, right? And you had like 60 to 65% of doctors said they would get it, but 40 to 45% of nurses said they would. And you've still got a large, possibly majority population of nurses who say, I don't feel comfortable in getting that shot.
Yeah.
What do we have a massive shortage of in this country? Nurses. So what are we going to do?
And they're the most at risk.
We're going to fire them.
Well, they're at most risk.
So to your point, it's my health that I'm going to take advantage of. And by the way, if you believe the vaccine works and you've had the vaccine, why the hell are you worried anyway?
Well, I'm not.
It either works or it doesn't
work.
I'm
with you on that.
Yeah,
but why is this? Here's the thing, Mike, on this, because this keeps circling back on politics. And it's hard to deny that there is a political equation to this. Why are more Republicans so hesitant to get the vaccine?
That I really don't understand.
I think it's turned into this badge of honor. Like, I'm really strong. I don't need the vaccine. And self-determination. That's sort of what I'm seeing. And because I got to tell you, I believe in vaccines. I think everybody should get them. I push it. And I'm okay with incentives. I want to get more people vaccinated. I don't want. But I also think the sanctimony and the rage going out there is turning people off.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the people I talked to, it was about propaganda on social media. They're like, oh my God, China doesn't have it. So,
well, I'm sure there's
a
lot of misinformation.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
and that's rampant and it's terrible. And I try to help and say, you know, don't be silly.
But
I also think some people are like, I don't need to be lectured anymore. I know the scoop. And I've made my choice and quit calling me a killer because I choose not to get vaccinated.
Oh, no. We have to label everybody these
days.
Right. And I have to demonize you if you disagree with me.
Correct.
You're a racist. You're a sexist.
Correct.
You obviously
want
facts, people to die.
You're a racist.
Because you don't want to get the...
Or a killer.
There's all kinds of stuff that they're going to throw at you with doing this. But there comes a point where you start saying, look, are we going to turn into that country that said, let me see your papers. I have not seen your papers. Show me your papers.
Well, every kid that goes to school has to show their papers.
You do not. That is not true. You can claim two or three different...
A valid objection, but not just because I don't want to.
No,
every kid's got to literally show their papers to go to school.
Exception, right?
They do, because we had the big thing. We talked about the Show Me Vax program. They just redid the database for that. And we had a whole bunch of people who showed up at county council complaining about the fact of, hey, they're going to, you know, put all your medical records out here. It's like, no. You have all these people, to get back to your earlier conversation of the homeless folks who were transitory people and they move all around the place. Those kids don't have anyone hanging on to their shot records. So if we don't have a database that these kids got these shots, then every time that they move from district to district to district,
they can't go to school.
They're going
to
make them get these shots again and again and again and again before they can come to school.
Right.
That's crazy. Granted, that's a whole different topic from where we are right now. But there's got to be some part of personal responsibility.
I'm happy that the companies are mandating.
This is how it's impacting us in St. Louis. Because Springfield is having a huge outbreak, and they're diverting their patients to St. Louis. And we've got it under control. So now you're going to send your Delta variant people to St. Louis so it can start spreading in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, we don't want them, by the way.
That's the problem. I have a problem with that.
Keep them down in Greene County.
Well, they can't.
So,
they're not.
There's no, and then you get into the rural areas that have no hospitals. They have to send them somewhere. So if you're saying there's health workers that don't want to get the shot, then let them take care of the Delta variants that wouldn't get the virus.
The shot.
They wouldn't get the shot
maybe
either.
Maybe that's a good pairing. Now, we did learn today, I was encouraged by this, Mike, that the CDC says schools should reopen and vaccinated students don't need to wear masks. I would argue that no students need to wear masks.
I would agree.
Again with that, but at least it was somewhat encouraging. But you know as well as I do that a lot of these schools are going to still require masks.
I think I guess it was, it's not Parkway. It's another school district.
Rockwood?
Is it Rockwood?
I don't know.
There was a school district. Of course, it's in St. Louis County. It's not going to be in St. Charles because, you know, COVID's been done there for a year. I know. I just think it's funny. So anyway, they were already talking about that they had said this fall, workers were already going to have to wear masks. They were talking about that when school got out
Rockwood,
in the spring.
But
it's, it may be Parkway, but it was a St. Louis.
And I feel sorry for the workers because I go to restaurants and stuff and I see these poor workers wearing it. And I'm like, gosh.
I'm like,
and
at what point are you going to let them get back to life?
Well, it's just to let people know, okay, like we're virtue signaling.
The other thing that's happening right now is that this is spiking in Tokyo ahead of the games. And these poor Olympic athletes are not going to have any crowds there, which I think sucks to cheer them on.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Olympics are going to be the same because of this.
Oh, I don't think the Olympics are going to be the same at all.
And I'm going to watch every bit of them. So I support these athletes because they've done their 4 years and they deserve to be there and they deserve, you know what I mean? And so I am going to do my best to watch them all so that they know that, it wasn't, you know, because it is hard. And we've got two boys, both went to Chaminade 4 years apart, who are playing on the United States basketball team, Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal. I mean, what are the odds?
That's awesome.
I can't wait. I'm going to watch every minute of them. And so, but it does make me sad that there won't be a crowd.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And then also, we will not see Sha'Carri Richardson. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. She's been left off the Olympics team. She tested positive for THC. That is a banned substance. I think, personally, I get it. People were all over me on Twitter because I said, yeah, little known secret about weed helps you run faster. And everyone's
like, do
people
believe that?
Well, no. But what people went to is, well, little known fact about rules. You got to follow them. I get that. Okay, I understand
that. It's just a dumb rule.
I agree.
But they held everybody to it, so they got to hold
everybody
to it.
Well, that's fine. And I get that.
It's just fairness.
I understand that part of it. I do understand that part of it because you can't just all of a sudden in the middle say, okay.
Because everybody else didn't smoke pot.
Right. So I get, you know, some people don't think when you
there
when
is
you tweet,
a subtlety
they
there.
Don't think that you're thinking through all that.
But get rid of the rule.
There
dumb.
Was. I mentioned the Cardinals, but let's talk about Pat Maroon for a moment here. Pat Maroon has won 3 Stanley Cups in a row.
How about that?
Yeah.
I think that is incredible.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
I mean...
So what's the secret to Lord Stanley's
well,
Cup?
Well, like Kevin Wheeler was even saying yesterday, he's not like he's like one of the premier, was the premier player in the NHL for
now.
Contribution, but certainly, wouldn't you retire at this point?
I don't know. I'd lose one before I quit.
And I hope he's got a good agent.
On the fact of, I'm going to go out and play that marketing game of, hey, you know what happens when I'm on your team? We win.
Right. I'm
so
the good luck
whether
charm.
Or not you think I'm your top guy, he may be that locker room guy.
Well, why retire when you can make
together.
That money?
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. That's no, I think, and I hope he's got a good agent. He's got that commercial that's running right now with
Ryan
O'Reilly. But you would think that even though most sports fans across the country wouldn't know, unless you're dialed into the NHL, they would not know the name Pat Maroon. But good Lord,
they wear helmets.
Do an ad with him and tell people that he won 3
like.
Stanley Cups.
Absolutely.
And define Pat. If his agent is good, he should have some national campaigns.
By all means, hockey
players don't really get the same dollars.
No, they
for
don't.
Some reason.
No, they don't.
I mean, and it's a shame because he's, you know, and most people don't know what they look like.
True, well, it's
the
a,
helmets.
It's a very niche sport in terms of fans, and I think St. Louis, I've always said, is not a hockey town. It is a blues town, and there's a difference. Yeah. They're all about the Blues, and they root on the Blues players. But as soon as the Blues are done, man, the ratings for hockey in this town go to crap.
Unless it's a former Blue, and then we get excited for them.
Well, there you go. it's not quite as good, and it didn't translate as well for David Freese. But
we will close on, as we segue from that, into the Cardinals, who are in Chicago this weekend. They managed to get a couple of victories against San Francisco, but this is a dismal baseball team, and I don't think there's any saving it at this point. Although, there is some good news this afternoon. Carlos Martinez's stretch on the DL has been extended from 9 to 60 days. We wish him well. I hope he's going to feel better. And I say this as a Carlos fan. I really do. Genuinely, I liked him. But his time is it's over at this point, I think, for Carlos, even though he managed, I think, his last outing to be decent.
You know, at this point, I'm starting to feel really bad for the equipment manager for the Cardinals because they're making new jerseys just all the time.
Yeah. I know.
Like, hey, here's
well, Oviedo.
Guy I've
Oviedo
never
got
heard of
shipped.
Before.
Yeah, Oviedo's done. He got shipped down. They brought somebody else up. You're right, Mike.
We're just going to keep printing new jerseys. Well, hey, by the way, this is the strangest Reardon Roundtable I've ever been on in my life because you've got Democrats that make sense and actually say really smart stuff.
It's
scaring me.
It's happening more often. Next time you're on, Cory Bush is going to be on the panel. We're out of time.
I'm out of town that week.
Enjoy the weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.